indeed very thankful to be here. It's a great joy in my heart to be here. And I was thinking back about a year after I moved up to Illinois, I came over here to the Indiana Fellowship at this church, and just the great reception which we've always had here, and the great kindness extended toward us. I want you to know it means a whole lot to us. The friendship and the fellowship of the Lord's people is an extra blessing to us from the Lord, and I want you to know how much it means to us, and how great we always have of a time whenever we are among you. And we're certainly thankful for that. We pray the Lord continue to bless this area and really bless it beyond what He's blessed it so far. We pray for great upbuilding in your churches. And we're all, again, we're just always happy to see y'all. We're thankful for the ones who came over to our meeting a couple weeks ago. That meant a lot to us. And we want to come back and visit you again. I want to encourage y'all to come back to be with us again over there. And we're certainly thankful for that. And as we do that, I'm going to make one more comment and then we'll get to the sermon. And that is, as you look around about you, these are your brothers and sisters in Christ that you'll be with for all eternity. How great a blessing it is to know each other now.
Amen.
And worship together now. That's a great blessing. And it stirs our hearts up to be among the Lord's people. And it's another blessing, not only to see old friends, but to make new friends. That's a great blessing as well. So we're certainly thankful to the Lord for all of that. If you would please turn over to Jeremiah chapter 4. I want to read one verse from here, and then go read another verse that's very much like it from Hosea chapter 10. But first, I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. So Jeremiah chapter 4, and verse 3. He says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." I'm going to read that verse. Then I want to go over to Hosea. Hosea is not hard to find. If you go from Jeremiah, you go to Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and then you'll be in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. He says over here, "To sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground." He says, "For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." Now, of course, you notice a similar statement in those two verses as to break up your fallow ground. And of course, by the term, by the term fallow ground, he can have two things in mind. One is a ground that is not tilled. The other is a ground that has been tilled up yet not planted. And so he tells them to break it up, by which he means to not only to break up the ground, but also to sow seed among it. And of course, the aim was to grow fruit out of it. And as we begin to look at that, that accords with a whole lot that we'll find written in the Bible. You know, the Bible very frequently will use this concept of sowing and reaping, of course, for the preaching of the gospel. And it used the concept of ground for the hearts of men. And you'll find this in a lot of places. Of course, you're probably thinking of the parable of the sower. We have those different kinds of grounds, of course, represents the hearts of men. And then the seed that was sown among it, of course, representing the preaching of the word of God. But, of course, not only do we find that to be the case, but we also find where, of course, their primary methods of breaking up the ground was they would use oxen. They would use asses as well. But if you think about that usage of oxen, of course, not only to break up the ground, but also to thresh what came out of the ground, they could also use those to sow seed. They would usually sow seed either by a broadcast method, or they put a sack on the back of an animal with holes in it, and as it walked around, it would spread the seed around. But you think about their use of oxen. Of course, as you read the Bible, you find where oxen are used as a picture of the gospel ministers. So, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where over there he's talking about the support of the ministry, he says, "And say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also?" He says, "For it is written that thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox when he treadeth out the corn." Then he asks this question. He says, "Doth God care for oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes?" He says, "For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth his hope should be partaker of his hope." He says, "If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we shall reap your carnal things?" So you can see there in other places where the oxen are used as a symbol of the gospel ministry. Also, if you go over to Ezekiel chapter 1, when he saw the living creatures who were pulling the great chariot throne of God, one of the faces was the face of an ox. So anyway, this is used of the gospel ministry. And so we have kind of all of these things together, this concept of breaking up the fallow ground. Now what got me thinking about this was a little over a year ago, I purchased a house on a couple acres there right across where our church building is. And so one of the things we wanted, of course, was to plant a garden there. So I went out this year with my tiller a few weeks ago and tried to start making a garden plot. And if you've ever done that on land where there was not one before, you know, that's a great difficult challenge. So there's a whole lot of grass there, and the grass does not like to go bye-bye. So you have to dig in with the tiller. So I'm out there working and working and working, and then I broke a part on my tiller. So I had to order a part, wait for it to come in. So finally this week I got back to it, and man, it was quite a bit of work. But while I was out there for hours on end working on that, this scripture just kept coming to mind, and a lot of thoughts came out of that. So please pray for us as we try to develop those. You know, this concept of breaking up ground that has yet been untilled, with the idea of sowing seed in it and producing fruit from it, and how that relates to our spiritual growth, the seed sown in our hearts, both individually, of course, also from the gospel ministry, as you and I try to produce fruit. Remember what Jesus said over in John chapter 15, that you and I are supposed to produce fruit, and that this glorifies God. Of course, the kingdom of God is also a vineyard, and the purpose of a vineyard is to do what? Produce fruit. That's glorifying and honoring to the master of the vineyard, the Lord of the vineyard, the Lord God himself. And so I want to kind of begin to kind of look at this concept of breaking up the ground. Now, as I said, if you begin to try to break up the ground, it's very difficult work. It's very laborious work. It takes a lot of work to do it. I had a pretty small plot, really. I think it's about 30-something by, I don't know how long it was, but it wasn't that big of a plot. But it was a lot of work involved. And one thing I want to get out of that is it takes quite a bit of work in order to grow spiritually. Of course, we know we're ultimately going to be leaning on the blessings of God. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. But it's going to take quite a bit of work on our part in order to grow spiritually. There's going to have to be quite a bit of effort put into that. Now, the reason I emphasize that is because you and I live in an age of great laziness around about us. In fact, if you think back a couple hundred years to the people who settled this area of the country, they were not lazy, to say the least. In fact, I'm amazed at how hard they worked. I remember reading the autobiography of Elder Wilson Thompson a few years ago, and it amazed me how hard people back then worked. The man would work one job during the day, and he'd go out by firelight. That means he built him a fire. We say back where I came from, he built him a fire. And he worked clearing his land by night. Now, he didn't have a chainsaw. He didn't have a tractor with a bush hog. He didn't have a stump grinder. Now, he did that work by hand, or of course, maybe he had an animal also to help him, but it took quite a bit of work. And it really is amazing to me. As we were driving up here, I told my wife, looking at all this farmland, I said, all this farmland, it used to be either be trees on it, or there was prairie grass on it. How in the world did they clear all that off and make farmland out of it? That's amazing, isn't it? They worked hard. But you know what's amazing about that is, not only did they work really hard, they did not have the leisure time you and I have. Amen. But they knew more about the Bible, oftentimes, than a lot of folk do today, a lot of God's people do today. And that is because it was of great importance to them. Amen. In fact, their leisure time was usually wrapped around church. That's when they rested. They rested on the day that they worshiped the Lord. But that was numero uno in their lives. They placed a great emphasis upon it. Now here you and I are, we have lots of things they did not have. We have lots of leisure time. We also have great libraries at our fingertips. One of the brethren at our meeting a few weeks ago, he pointed out the fact you pretty much got the sum total of human understanding and knowledge that we still have a hold of. Of course, there's some probably that's been lost. Right at your fingertips. You can look it up on the internet or on your cell phone very quickly. They did not have these advantages. They probably had the Bible, maybe one or two or three other books. You and I have great advantages over them, and yet oftentimes we know less about the Bible than they did. And so it takes great diligence, takes great diligence to read and study and meditate on the Word of God. And that's a very important point, friends. You and I have got to read and study and meditate on the Word of God. We need to be reading it at least once every year, all the way through. I've gotten a little bit harder on that in the years, but I think it's very important to do so. We've got to know what the Word of God says. God thought it was important enough to record it and also to preserve it, praise God. You and I ought to think it's important enough to read the thing.
Amen.
And really, it's not all that big. I read a lot of books in my life, a lot bigger than this one. You know, we can read it all the way through in a year. And think of how greatly enriched your life will be if you start right now doing that. In about 5 years, if we're all still here, you'll have read the Bible through five times. And I'll guarantee you, you'll know more about it than you did when you got started. So it takes great diligence. And by the way, when we talk about diligence, the Bible's got a lot to say about it. The Bible says that the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. It says that the hand of the diligent maketh rich, it also maketh fat. And the Lord likes diligence. Of course, remember that the servant of Abraham, he was led to the house of his master's brethren while he was in the way. There's a lot to be said for being diligent, for obeying, for working hard. This is what the Lord would have us to do. On the other side, there's a lot about slothfulness that is spoken against. One of the great ones over there is where it says that the slugger is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. What that means is whatever reason you can come up with for not reading the Bible is not good enough. You're not going to come up with a good enough one. You and I can be reading and studying and meditating on Scripture. Not only that, but seeking the Lord through prayer, seeking Him through meditating on His Word, and of course coming where the gospel is preached. There's where we get to the gospel ministry, is those who are trying to break up that ground. You need to be preparing and trying to come ready to hear the Word of God. Part of that is praying for God to open that man's mind and help him to understand the Word of God, and praying that when we come together that our hearts will be in the right place. We'll be seeking the honor and glory of God in Him only. That He'll bless He'll bless that local church to be filled with the Spirit, and that our songs might be greatly Spirit-filled, that they might glorify and honor God as we sing to Him from our hearts, and as we speak and teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that'll also be greatly blessed. I cannot tell you how many times I have been greatly blessed just sitting through the song service. Maybe come into the assembly and your heart's not in the right place, but boy, the Lord straightens it out during that song service. It's very important. And also praying for the preaching of the gospel, that the man of God might be able to preach, because that's the only way he will be able to preach, if the Holy Spirit blesses him, and that we might be able to hear and receive and grow by the things which he preaches. So there's a great diligence that is necessary there for spiritual growth. So we've got to cast off that. You know, there's so many ways which we've got to come out of the world, and one of those is, in our society today, is not being lazy, but working hard and being diligent. And the Lord will greatly bless. And by the way, I think it's been said here at this meeting, you will not find a lazy bone in the body of Jesus Christ. In fact, he accomplished more in a couple years than I've accomplished in almost 10 years I've been trying to preach. You know, it's amazing what all he accomplished. Not a lazy bone in his body. And if you and I are going to be disciples of his, we need to be much the same way. We need to be found laboring in his service. And there's no greater joy than doing that. Now, here's another thought about that. And that is, you have to go over that ground again and again and again. So you have to go over it again and again and again, and then clear off all the grass, and then go over it again and again and again. And there's also something to be said for that. There's a need, again, for great diligence. But in particular, if you think about this with regard to the gospel ministry, let me just kind of back up just a little bit. The ground needs to be broken up so the seed can get in there in order to germinate. Remember over there in the parable of the sower, you had that wayside where the seed landed. And this is uncultivated ground. This is a traveled way, which is hard. And so the seed landed on top, and that's why the birds were able to pluck them away. Now, I know some people say, well, it says the seed was sown in their hearts. That's because it's using that ground as a picture of the hearts of men. But the reason the birds were able to carry that seed away is because it laid there on top of the ground. The reason why you want to put dirt over a seed is to keep anything from getting a hold of it. I remember when I grew up in South Mississippi, we used to plant ryegrass plots to deer hunt off of. And what we would do is, of course, have the tractor run the disc across it, and then another tractor would come along and plant it. And then we finally got smart enough to where we fixed a little contraption to put on the back of a four-wheeler in order to drag the dirt back over the seed so nothing would come and eat it up. And so the ground needs to be broken up so the seed can get in there in order so it can germinate and bring forth fruit. And so there's a great need for the ground to be broken up and prepared. And a part of that is what you and I do individually and as families. But a huge part of that is by the gospel ministry here in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a great need to pray and to seek that gospel ministry to break up that ground. By the way, the breaking up of ground, not only is it very laborious, but if you kind of think about that, it's not going to be without any pain. There's going to be some times where what they say might hurt a little bit, but if you're ever sitting in church and something preached just hits you right between the eyes, it's not time to get mad, it's time to get happy.
Amen.
Because that means the Lord's working on you.
Well said. Amen.
If the Lord's working on you, you know a few things. One is, I'm a child of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Secondly, the Lord's still working on me. Praise God again.
Amen.
I need to be worked on. I'm not there. I do.
Right.
And one of His primary ways of working on me is through the preaching of the Word of God. And so I need to be hit between the eyes sometimes. Sometimes I need to be hit on the backside too. But anyway, hit on the hand, whatever you want to call it. I need to sometimes have it just plainly said to me. And when the gospel ministry does that, he might not even know why he's saying what he's saying.
Right.
He's certainly not aiming it at you.
Right.
He's just trying to be faithful. The Holy Spirit is one who's aiming it at you.
Right.
You know?
Amen.
And he's doing so not to be mean, but again, to help you come to maturity. I find where Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 concerning that first letter he wrote to them. First letter was kind of rough. You know? But he wrote to him, he talked about how he doesn't repent that he wrote that first letter, though he says, I did repent. But he said that he was happy. Why was he happy? Well, he was happy because it wrought in them repentance. It wrought godly sorrow. He talks about how the sorrow of the world works death, but that godly sorrow brings about repentance, not to be repented of.
Amen.
And so that's a good thing, friends. I hope you and I are sorry over our sins and repent of them and seek the Lord. That's a good thing. Blessed are they that mourn, says Jesus, for they shall be comforted. And there's a little bit of the gospel sometimes comes along, slaps us on the hand a little bit, but then it comes along and it encourages us and refreshes us with the news of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. So at the same time, we're ashamed and repent of our sins on the other side whenever Jesus Christ has put them away and there's forgiveness with God. And so we need to forsake these things. He that covereth his sins... Trying to think of it. I can't even think of where it is. He that covereth... There you go. That's exactly it. That's right. You and I are not supposed to cover our sins. We're supposed to confess them and forsake them. And there's the pathway to mercy. So anyway, there we have it. Now, you have to go over that ground again and again and again. And there's a good bit of exhortation and comfort in this for the gospel ministry. We also have to be very diligent to go over that ground again and again and again and again and again, and not faint and not quit, but keep preaching again and again and again. I'm not talking about preaching exactly the same sermon exactly the same way every time we get up, because we also find where Jesus says at the end of Matthew chapter 13 that scribe is instructed in the kingdom of heaven. He's like a wise householder who brings out of his treasures things both new and old. Now, by new, Jesus doesn't mean a new idea or a new doctrine. What he means is a new, fresh way of presenting that. Just like my wife cooks a meal that I like, it's an old meal in the sense that I've had it before, but it's new in the sense it ain't the same one I had a few weeks ago. Not getting anymore, you know. But anyway... I don't want her using chicken from a few years ago. I want her to use fresh chicken from the store to make those good loaded chicken and potatoes I like so much. But it's an old recipe, you see, in a new, fresh way. But anyway, but what we're trying to do is go over that over and over and over again. I was thinking about that during Brother Tommy's sermon this morning. He's going over those those good fundamental principles.
Amen.
And those need to be gone over and over and over and over again. And I've had the foolish thought many times in my life, well, I'll just preach something and there it'll be. You're laughing. That ain't the way it works. You're going to have to preach it again and again and again oftentimes. Now, it could work that way. The Lord could work. But oftentimes we find you have to go over it again and again and again and again. There's great diligence needed there. But we find with the Apostle Paul, he told the Galatians over there, he told them not to be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so don't be weary in well-doing. Keep on keeping on. There's great blessings in that, just keeping on and laboring and laboring and laboring. I guarantee you, the men that I grew up under, they probably never thought their labors with regard to me would lead to very much anywhere. And yet my life is greatly blessed over what they said and what they did. You and I are not the judges of how our preaching works and what kind of an impact it will have. Our job is to be faithful and to try to continuously preach and try to turn over that ground over and over and over and over again. And the one we're looking to is the Lord. You think about that. You think about over there in Hosea, he talked about how the Lord will rain righteousness upon you. Ultimately, the one we're looking to is the Lord, because without the rain, nothing going to grow and bring forth fruit to perfection. But if the rains came and the ground was not broken up and sowed, nothing would happen. And so there's a part of it that lays on us to be diligent and do what he told us, but then ultimately we're looking to him to bless it. And that's the way with everything, almost. That's the way with parenting. We were talking about this earlier, Brother Ben and I were, that our job is to be faithful, but ultimately we're leaning on the Lord. I hope we are. We better be. We better be leaning on the Lord to bless, because we're going to mess it up, as Brother Ronnie told us. We mess everything up. We're going to look to the Lord. And that's the way it is in every part of our lives. You and I are trying to be obedient and pray that God will bless and pray that God will cover our shortcomings. I'm praying for that big time, because I got a whole lot of them. But anyway, and so we're looking to him ultimately. Now here's another thing I noticed too. As I'm turning up that ground, I'm turning up a lot of stuff in the ground. The people who own that property before me, I don't know what they did, but there's all kinds of stuff in the ground, all kinds of junk and trash all up in the ground. I found some of it. My dogs found some of it. And when I tilled up that garden plot, I found a whole lot of it. In fact, I got to go back and pick it up, because I threw it right outside the garden plot. I got to go pick it up before I mow the grass again. But anyway, and this reminds me of something. It reminds me of that third kind of ground over there in the parable of the sower, that thorny ground. And it's kind of interesting. Years ago, I used to think, well, the seed there was sown on the thorny ground. The thorns were already up. However, if you'll read all four accounts carefully, I think it's Luke who will tell us that the thorns sprang up with it, that is, with the seed. And so it appears that ground was clear and looked good. And so they threw in the seed. But then when the seed sprung up, so did the thorns right along with it. But what the thorns did was they outgrew the seed and choked it out so that it brought forth no fruit to perfection. Now, of course, Jesus tells us what this is. These are the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, these types of things. Which are there. And of course, what that points us to is a couple things. One is the corruption that is in the hearts of men by nature. Our hearts are naturally corrupt.
Amen.
Now, a couple things here. First of all, by nature, men are totally depraved. We heard that today earlier. And once a child of God is born again, he's no longer totally depraved. But he still is depraved. He's still got the old nature. It's a very important point. There's a lot of people today who are moving towards the doctrines of grace, but they pretty much preach where the old nature is pretty much eradicated. That is not the case. That is not the case. The Bible does not teach that. In fact, that's very much against the teachings of the Bible from beginning to end. And it's also violated by your own experience. You know it's not true. You know good and well it's not true. That old nature is still there. Right? As we find the Apostle Paul, after he was born again, he talks about this war going on in his members. We talked about how he had that inward man that delighted in the law of God. That was the part that was created in him when he was born again. He was dead in trespasses and sins, but when he was born again, he was made alive to God.
Right.
And that new nature he had from God, which was created after the image of Jesus Christ in righteousness and true holiness, that thing delighted in the law of God. And that's why you're here. Because you were born again, and there's a part of you that delights in the Word of God, that loves Jesus Christ, that wants to serve Him and honor Him and seek His Word and rejoices in the preaching of the Gospel. And that's the only reason why you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe the Gospel of Jesus Christ, you rejoice, and you want to be members of a Primitive Baptist Church. That's the only reason why. And so there's that part of Him. But then He also says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity to the law of sin and death. That's the old nature. What the Apostle Paul also calls the flesh and the carnal nature, etc. That's the old man. And that's that part we have from Adam. And that thing's still there. And so we have corruption within us. At one of the same time, we have holiness within us and corruption within us. And so we have a war within us. This is why sometimes we're obedient and sometimes we're disobedient.
That's why.
You know, that's it. And because we have this corruption within us, that's that primary thing that really hinders our spiritual growth, that corruption of our old nature, because that thing does not like the Word of God. It does not like it. It is at enmity with God. It doesn't like His Word. It doesn't rejoice in His Word. It doesn't want to do that. It wants to go out here and live like the world. And so we have that corruption by nature. We see this in the thorny ground. That's such a clear Bible symbol, isn't it? Because we think about thorns. Why do thorns exist on planet Earth? They exist because God cursed the ground for man's sake. Because that man Adam sinned against God. And God told him in Genesis chapter 3, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And He told him that it would bring forth thorns and thistles. And so from thenceforth, thorns became a great symbol of that corruption which came in by the sin of man. And so we see that that's down in the heart of the child of God. And so oftentimes we see those worldly things entering in. I think that's how Mark puts it, how these things enter in and they choke out the Word. Here's a very important exhortation I wish to give, particularly to the young people. I remember when I joined the church when I was about 9 or 10. I was about my son's age when I joined church. And I was very zealous. But we were very worldly in the way that we lived. The movies we watched, TV that we watched, music we listened to, all of it was very worldly. And what that stuff did was it choked out the Word that I heard preached by those faithful men of God. It choked it out so that I was unfruitful. And friends, this is why the Bible tells us, what God told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. In fact, that comes out of that not being unequally yoked together, which comes out of that great Old Testament law over there in, I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10, not to plow with the ox and the ass together. Not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You and I are not to live like the world and be like the world and to function in that way. This is not the way that it's supposed to be. We're supposed to come out from among them, says the Lord, and be separate. He says, and I will receive you. And so there's a separation that must take place. You and I are to be very careful about what we watch and what we listen to and what we expose ourselves to. You know, sometimes people have said to me, you're kind of sheltering your kids. At some point, they're going to be exposed to these things. I say, well, I hope at that point I've trained them well enough and taught them well enough to convince them not to expose themselves to these things. That's kind of silly. There's no age at which some things in this world are appropriate.
Right.
No age. I don't care how old you are, there's some things you shouldn't watch or listen to. And I'm going to tell you the truth about those things. Those things stick in the head. And I'm going to tell you, I can still remember the movies and the TV shows and the music that I listen to. I can still remember all that stuff. And sometimes it still pops up. And you know, when it pops up, it makes me so ashamed that I ever did those things. It truly does. That stuff sticks in there. You know what I oftentimes forget, just like a while ago, there's a Bible verse I've quoted and used before, and I totally forgot it. I couldn't grab it. But if you ask me about a movie, well, I could remember it right off the bat. That's because I'm a sinner. Those things stick. This is why you and I should not expose ourselves to these things. And if you're a young person here, do not expose yourself to those movies that are, you know, what's so amazing to me. People today act like, well, Hollywood has just gone so corrupt. It's always been that way.
Amen.
Why are we surprised at some of the things they say today and the way they act today? That's what they've been producing for decades.
Amen.
And you and I should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness because God does not. We should stay away from those things. You and I have enough corruption in our heart by nature. It needs no encouragement.
Amen.
We need to be encouraging the new man by reading the Word of God and praying and gathering together with the Lord's people and encouraging each other, provoking each other to love and to good works. That's the thing to do. But so oftentimes we find those things there, just like that thorny ground, and it chokes out that word. But God help us. God help us to remove those things and to stay away from them, friends, and instead rather devote ourselves unto godliness. Jesus Christ talked about how here's what the nations of the world are after, says the Lord Jesus over there in Luke 12. He says they're after what they can eat and what they can drink and what they can put on. And that's what they've been after, and that's what they're still after today. But Jesus then says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Instead of that, you and I need to be seeking the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Isn't that good exhortation? So he says, instead of being what the world's about, you need to be about the kingdom of God, which is what Jesus was about, and it's what you and I ought to be about. And then he encourages us by saying, don't fear, don't be afraid, because it's your Father's good pleasure to give. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That sounds pretty good to me. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so there's great blessing in that laboring in the kingdom of God, is striving to bring forth fruits and going over that ground. And you know, here's the other thing. You're going to come back. You're going to come back to that ground over and over and over again and continue to work, because there's going to be stuff grow there that doesn't need to be there. But keep coming back to it over and over and over again, seeking for the Lord to bless you. And it should be our prayer. It should be our prayer above all, that the Lord would bless us to grow. As the Apostle Peter exhorted the brethren over there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we might grow in grace, it is in all the graces, you know, the exercising of our gifts and our understanding of who and what he's done and how we're living in this world, and that we also might grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We might know more about him. By the way, God bless us to be so diligent in the study of his word that everything that we encounter in this world and all of the experiences of life, he turns our mind over and over and over again to think of Scripture.
Amen.
And as we do so, he imparts to us more light and understanding of it, so we can understand more about Christ and so we can communicate that to others as we interact with them. That light might shine out from among us, that fruit might be brought forth and abound to the glory of God. And so I want to encourage you to strive to labor in his kingdom. And you know, here's things that the Lord tells us to do. And don't you believe that, you know, a lot of people say, I want to know what the will of the Lord is. Here it is. It's right here. What people really want is they want to know what the providential will of God is. God's not going to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
But he has told us what he would have us to do.
Amen.
It's right here. And what he would have us to believe is right here. And this is where you and I need to be spending our effort, right here, learning this, and then asking the Lord to bless us, to apply it to our lives. And then again, that it might flow out in every part of our lives so that we might grow to look more and more like him, and might glorify and honor him more and more as we live in this world, and be a blessing to others that we come into contact with. And isn't that a great thing? And as you and I do that, which God is, as we strive to do that, I should say, that God has written in his word, don't you believe the Lord is very forward to bless that? I believe he is. I believe you and I need to be praying and laboring in that way. And I want to encourage you to do that. We certainly thank you for your kind attention. May the Lord richly bless each one of you.
Amen.